Hey bro, wants to go to a temple today? Temple? Okay, maybe this weekend. Honestly, I really don't have time. From the minute I wake up to the time I get home, my schedule is so packed. Well, dear listeners, do these dialogues sound familiar to you? All of us have been there at least once in our lives, where we just can't seem to find time to connect to the divine, to the divine selves that we really are. But that is actually the most important part of our day, connecting to God, to Swami, and having that connection last throughout the day. And how do we do this? Well, sisters and brothers, welcome to this episode of Love to Love, where we will learn together how we can always find time for God, for He is more precious than anything in this world. Dear listeners, amidst the constant hustle and bustle of day-to-day activities, where the world seemed to constantly thrive on competition, where words like history and vision gets all the limelight, I think very little importance is given to the word now. So we are all caught up in such myriad dilemmas, we compromise on the one thing that will row us home, that is the God time. But why is that? Is it because we don't love God? Is it because we don't know this is the royal road to immortality? Well, not really. We can happily say a no to these questions. Nevertheless, we are caught up in that fine line between awareness and application. Well, true that we have received that knowledge we sought for innumerable births, but now we have to apply what we have learned so that we may gain more and more insight and love on the one thing that truly matters, that is getting closer to God. What is stopping us from this, from doing this? One of the great devotees of Lord Vishnu, a Tamil saint, in one of his songs, he said, "Do not fret, O foolish mind, your incessant worry about the distress caused by death and other worldly ills can never harm you. Is not your master the Supreme Lord? Cast aside all your anxiety and devote your thoughts on to this compassionate Lord. Leave out your laziness and offer your bhakti unto Him. He the one who can protect this world and dispel all of its darkness. Would He not take care of you who is His own servant?" So, dear listeners, there lies our answer. Trick the mind that tricks us. Now, does that sound too simple? Well, actually, it really is so simple. For it is the mind's job to jump from one thing to another, to fret and worry, to desire for more, and not let us think of the one thing that will give us everything. So finding time for God simply starts with arresting the mind in such a way that we think of Him at all places, at all times. Sarvada sarvakaleshu sarvatra harichintanam. That doesn't mean that mind is a bad tool. It will become a good one only if we know how to use it. So that's what even the hymns proclaim. Mana eva manushyanam karanam bandha mokshet. That meaning mind is the cause for bondage and liberation. So even for liberation, mind is the key. And with persistence and practice, we can actually get there. So, dear listeners, let us put this most powerful tool that God has given us, our mind, to good use and remind ourselves every chance we get that we are God and we are not separate from God. We are the truth, we are love, and we are peace. Welcome back, dear listeners. So now we know that our answer is to trick the mind that tricks us. But how do we start doing this? Well, since our minds are just like monkeys, perhaps the most practical way to start is to keep our minds in check. So how do we silence the mind? Or at least, to begin with, keep it under our control? Well, what I'm going to talk to you now is one of the most simplest thing to do, according to Swami, but many find this a very grueling task. Yes, dear listeners, I am talking about meditation. And today, we are going to tackle this one head on. No sugarcoating. Swami has repeatedly reminded us that meditation is one of the best ways to master our minds. In fact, Swami himself has given a simple meditation technique. It's called the Jyoti meditation. In conversation with John Hislop a long time ago, Bhagwan gives very specific instructions on how the Jyoti meditation should be done. So now I'm just going to go through the different steps that is involved in the Jyoti meditation. Of course, the best time to do this is early in the morning during the Brahma Muhurta. If you can't do that at that time, at any time that is convenient to you. So to begin with, light a lamp or a candle. Now sit straight. If you're sitting on a chair, you can sit on a chair or you could sit on the floor with your back erect. And once you light the lamp, gaze straight ahead at the flame. Then take this flame, the jyoti, into the heart and see it in the midst of the petals of the heart. Now imagine the petals of the heart unfold and see the light illumine the heart. Now bad feelings cannot remain. Then move this flame into the hands, and now they can no longer do dark deeds. In turn, move the flame in like fashion to the eyes and ears, so that they may henceforth take in only bright and pure sensations. Then move the light outward and into your friends, relatives, enemies, into animals, birds and other objects, so that all are illumined by the same light, the light that was within you. So first, you are in the light, and then the light is in you. And finally, you are the light, and the light is everywhere. Now enjoy this for a while, and then bring this light back to your heart and hold it there for all day long. Now if you want, you can also include a form of your Ishta Devata, any form of God you like inside that light, whether it could be Krishna, Rama, Jesus, our beloved Swami, any form of your choice. And this form of God that you selected may be seen in the center of the flame, wherever it is carried. And then you are with God everywhere, all day long. Now, some of you might say, well, that sounds nice. It sounds very relaxing. It sounds very beautiful to do. But, you know, I am a seva person, or I am a service person. Or some of you might say, you know, I am a singer. I like to sing to Swami. So why should I meditate? For hasn't Swami himself has said that hands that serve are holier than lips that pray? Well, very good. Continue the great service that you're doing, but squeeze in some time in the mornings for a session of meditation. Well, if you ask why, let's listen to Dr. Alan Levy, a long-standing Sai devotee from the United States, for some beautiful insights on meditation and why everyone should do meditation. And some of these insights Swami has personally shared with Dr. Alan Levy during some of the interview sessions. So over to Dr. Alan Levy in conversation with Radio Sai's Bishu Prushti.
Well, I'm very, very happy to be able to share with everyone and to be here at Prashanthi Nilayam in the presence of yourself and the Radio Sai staff. You're doing a great thing for the world in sharing Swami's teachings. From the moment I came to Swami in 1978, after about 4 days, Swami called the group I was with in, which included Hilda Charlton, who was a wonderful meditation teacher. And Swami immediately started the group interview with, "What is meditation?" And everybody said something, of course, and all of it was wrong. And Swami said, no one can teach meditation. It is something as natural as the breath. Everyone has the right to be able to meditate. You can only share the process of what it means to arrive at meditation. And then Swami described the three steps of meditational process. Concentration as the first step. Contemplation as the process where there is a feeling involved with the meditational process. Love and peace, inspiration, inspiring feelings and thoughts about God. And then the mind is transcended. And that transcendence of the mind, going beyond thought and feeling even into the divine oneness, is the actual practice of meditation, and that is the meditational state. So these three levels or ways of approaching meditational practice is extremely beneficial to the individual. It's beneficial on the physical level, and physiologically brings deep, deep rest to the body, to the heart, as well as to all of the organ systems. And it actually has been measured neurophysiologically to be deeper than deep sleep. Cannot replace deep sleep, however, because it is not quite the same process as deep sleep, and its function is a little bit different. But value of rest attributed to the meditational practice of 20 minutes is deeper than deep sleep. And so, do you know that if the pharmacy companies could bottle this and make it into capsules, it would be the golden cash cow of all pharmaceutical companies? Of course, they can't, so they never talk about it. But it definitely is a curative agent for all physical ailments, all of them, even genetic, to some degree. Now, on the mental level and emotional level, of course, we know what it does for the mind. Swami says that meditational practice is for the mind. It's a cleansing and a purifying process that the mind undergoes. As well, the heart, in its feeling world, undergoes purification. So the emotions are purified. It's a release of the past stresses of the past. We can say stress is karma, past karmas that are influencing us negatively, maybe even positively, because even golden chains bind, as Swami has said. So this practice of meditational process allows the attachments and desires of the mind, as Swami has said, to dissolve. Even the underlying vasanas that underlie the attachments and desires from one life to another that carry over dissolve through meditational practice if one is ardent and sincere enough about it.
So you're saying we should meditate because at the physiological level it can give us a rest which is much, much more than what you get if you're in deep sleep.
Yes.
So it is helpful to you physically.
Yes.
And it is helpful to you mentally because it will help you to get over your past. It'll help you to dissolve your desires and impurities.
Yes.
Is there something more to meditation? Why we should meditate?
Yes. So these are the side benefits, the secondary benefits of meditation or practice. They are not the primary purpose. The primary purpose is to find Swami and our God Self inside ourself by looking inward in an introspective way. We turn the mind from the perception of the world through the five senses, the sensory perceptions, we close our eyes, and we turn it 180 degrees inside. And inside our own self, in our soul and beyond, we find our oneness with God. We find our oneness with Swami. We find our oneness with Swami as form, and we find our oneness with Swami as formless. And that is liberation. In the moments that we are meditating, we experience in our deepest moments of meditation freedom, peace of mind, perfect oneness at times. And even if a meditational practice does not yield those immediate results, it will, with regularity of practice, each day, with regular, sincere, persistent, persevering sadhana of meditational practice, will yield those results if we take what we find in our meditational practice and bring it to help others through love and our understanding that we are one.
So if I get what you're saying, meditation will help us to go within.
Yes.
And experience the peace that is locked in our heart.
Yes.
And if someone were to ask why I should do this, I think the answer is that is what we are looking for all the time. We
yes.
want happiness. We want peace. And we are looking for it outside all the time, unknowing that it is actually within.
That's right. We are our own temple of God. God dwells in our heart, even beyond the heart. And we are a walking, living temple. We are the embodiments of love, as Swami has said so many times, the embodiments of God. We are God, as Swami is. And we only have to realize that. And so, where is there to go? And what is there to do? When we know this of ourselves, through all our sadhana, but especially meditation, because meditation is like an exponentially catalytic agent that increases the intensity and value of all the sadhana that we do.
Okay, so you are saying if we are doing meditation, it will help us to be more effective in our other spiritual practices.
That's right. And it will intensify the results. Of course, we're not attached to the results because we surrender the result to God. We give it at the feet of Swami. That is up to Swami. But it will bring quicker results.
So, if I might put it in another way, if you are one who's interested in doing service, meditation will help us to serve better.
Absolutely.
If we are one who is interested in singing bhajans,
yes.
meditation will help us to sing bhajans better.
Absolutely.
Can you explain this more? Can you elaborate on this?
Yes.
Can you say how is this going to happen?
So, for instance, when we're engaged in seva, where we find that we are serving ourselves and another that is less fortunate than we are, in having the material necessities of life or having health or whatever it may be, we know that we are one. We experience that we are one because we know that we have experienced the oneness of peace and God when we have meditated. So we have experienced the depth of ourself that brings us this awareness. And so when we act in this world for the sake of others, and always we are trying to be more acting in this world for the sake of others, less and less selfish, then we know that we are actually serving ourselves because we can see ourselves in the other person. This is what meditation actually brings.
So it is not only an intellectual understanding of the concept that we are all one, that the other person is same as me, that the same spirit is there in the other person, but when you meditate, you actually experience that oneness. So once you experience that oneness, you can actually live that principle in your life more effectively.
That's absolutely true. Swami has written in a letter, I happen to have a copy of this letter he wrote to Hilda when she had gone back to America in 1966. And in this letter, she was giving meditation classes in New York City to hundreds of people every Thursday night. And Swami wrote, I am aware of your meditation classes. This is very good. And it is important that all that attend the classes realize that the meditational process is only for one purpose. And that purpose is to promote a more loving attitude, a more loving action towards all people as brothers and sisters in God. And if meditation brings that awareness and people act in a more loving way towards each other, then the purpose of meditating is truly served. Otherwise, it is a true waste of time.
I think this is really significant. Meditation is not for us to just experience something within and give us a feeling that we are growing spiritually, that we are becoming enlightened, or that we are becoming more holier than the other person. Meditation is not that. If meditation doesn't help us to be more loving towards the other person, if meditation doesn't help us to see God in the other person, then it is no meditation.
That is correct. And along this line is very, very important to be aware that if meditation brings a feeling of I'm more spiritual than anybody else, that has actually resulted in greater ego rather than less ego. And how can we find freedom and oneness in love in God with greater ego? It is impossible. So true meditation brings the awareness that I am really nothing. God is all. God is all in everyone. And this is the only purpose of life, to serve God as God in ourselves and God in everyone together in love. Serve God and everyone in love. That is the only purpose of life, really.
Seeing God in my dear old cat, hearing the sound in a single-handed clap, glimpsing the light in a fallen leaf, sensing its presence in the midst of my grief, feeling the one and the smile of a child, seeing its love flowing gentle and mild, praising God in all that I do, knowing the truth that it's in me and you. Touching the hearts of everyone I see, looking inside, being home with me, catching a song that's coming from within, giving up life based on fear and sin, seeking to know that which sets us free, releasing it all, coming back to be. The crowd revealing the light as he dispels the cloud, embracing his love as it captivates my soul, receiving the faith that I am now made whole, laying my life at the feet of this one, no longer can
Welcome back, dear listeners. Now, there are few other simple meditation techniques other than the Jyoti meditation that can be used to aid us in finding time for God. Now, meditation, though may seem like a daunting task, is actually a simple way to feel communion with the Lord instantly. So Dr. Alan Levy, to whom you just heard now, has also graciously shared a simple meditation technique that we all can use to spend some time with God. And it really doesn't take that long. So dear listeners, let us all listen together. And if you are at home now, please sit straight. Please calm your mind. Take a few deep breaths. And let us all embark on this beautiful journey within with Dr. Alan Levy guiding us with this guided meditation technique.
We place ourselves lovingly at the lotus feet of our Lord Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Swami, you are the doer. You are the meditator within us. You are the goal of meditation. And you are the entirety of the process. Please meditate within us and bring us to realization of our oneness with you as God. So now we can follow the breath as soul breathing in mentally and as hum breathing out. It means I am that. That I am. That is God. We're breathing in some, thinking some. We're thinking hum as we breathe out. And we do this as if we have a nose in the center of the chest. We're breathing through this nose in our heart center. Easily and effortlessly, without criticism or judgment of the mind, bring it back to soul breathing in, hum breathing out. Easily and effortlessly, bring the mind back to soul breathing in, hum breathing out. once again, when the mind wanders, gently, easily, and effortlessly, bring the mind back to so breathing in through the heart center, hum, breathing out. Wandered easily, comfortably, and effortlessly. Bring it gently back to soul breathing in, hum breathing out, as the breath naturally occurs, without criticism or judgment of the mind. Of meditation and meditational practice, let's conclude, keeping the eyes closed for at least 2 minutes. Let's just be for a moment. Feel what you feel without the so hum and following the breath. Feel what you feel. All meditations, according to Swami's teachings, we end with a prayer of your choice. Personally, I like,
thank you.
Well, dear listeners, you know, our Lord hasn't made it all that difficult for us. A conversation that transpired between few sages in Dwapar Yuga, it stands as a testimony for this. Now, few of the sages once went to sage Vyasa and asked, which age is conducive for liberation? And the great sage pronounced that the one born in the age of Kali are the most fortunate, as Namasmarana will help them to receive the grace of God with ease. Well, dear listeners, here is yet another practical tip for you. If you think meditation is too time-consuming for you, you might be saying, well, I might miss my bus to work, or I might leave the house late and get fired by the boss, etc. Do Namasmarana, or repetition of the Lord's name. Well, it can be done anywhere, it can be done anytime, in any form. You can do it while driving, you can do it while you're on the bus, you can do it on the way to work, you can do it when you're in the shower, anywhere. It is a perfect way to include the remembrance of the Lord in our daily affairs. Swami says that whenever and wherever you put yourself in touch with God, that is the state of meditation. Now, Dr. Srikant Sola, a well-known cardiologist who works at the Sri Sathya Sai Super Speciality Hospital in Whitefield, speaks about connecting to the God Self in this busy world where we are all the time running around. So how and when do we find time to connect to God? So here is Dr. Sola telling us how he connects to Swami during his busy schedule at the hospital.
And so this is how we go about, because we're not practicing continuously. As long
as
you are
breathing. How does one practice continuously when you're doing many different things through the course of a day?
That's a great question. So suppose I'm doing an operation. Suppose I'm the operating theater assisting the cardiac surgeons. That task becomes my meditation. I will fully step into the task and be so immersed in that task that there's no past and there's no future. There's simply that present moment, which is taking care of that patient to the best of my ability. 100% focus. Then once I finish that task, I step out and then immediately step back into the God Self, immediately step back into the awareness that everything is God. So the task itself becomes a meditation, becomes a way of worshipping. Swami says work is worship.
So dear listeners, it is very simple. When you work, focus on your work. But once the work is done, unfortunately, most of us, including myself, we get back to our own cell phones. So, if we really analyze our life, we will find that a lot of time gets wasted in activities that really don't matter much. But we do it almost involuntarily. So, maybe it is time that we took charge of our life and really observe for a day as to how we are spending our time. The reason we are not spending time for God, is it really that we are so busy, or we haven't given it the priority it deserves? Now, that is something for you to think about.
Alleluia. Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You know, in the yester ages, getting one glimpse of the Lord and divine communion happened after years of penance. But today, all we need to do is pick one form from the Navavidha Bhakti and then march further in that particular form of devotion. It could be Shravanam, that is listening, Kirtanam, singing God's glory, Padasevanam, serving the Lord, Smaranam, remembering the Lord's name, Archanam, worshipping the Lord, Vandanam, paying obeisance to the Lord, Dasyam, being the Lord's servant, Sakyam, that is friendship, and Atmanivedanam, that is complete surrender. And as long as we can attune our mind to one that suits our persona, the job is half done. Mr. Eckhart Tolle says in his book, The Power of Now, he says, consider all your acts as worship. Whatever happens, accept it gladly as his handiwork, as a sign of his compassion, then do it with a sense of surrender. So speaking of Smaranam, Namasmarana is one of the easiest ways to attain and remember the Lord at all times. As we mentioned earlier, this can be done anywhere, at any time. But why is it so important? What benefits can we reap out of it? So here is a little story to illustrate these questions. You know, there was once a master who found a magic lamp in which there was a genie. Now the genie could perform any sort of task in split of a second. However, the genie had one extraordinary condition. He said that if his master gave him even 1 second of rest, he would kill his master. Now this means that the master had to keep this genie engaged at all times. But while it seemed easy in the beginning, very soon the master started running short of tasks. So finally he came up with this genius idea. He told the genie to go and climb up and down a pole continuously until he was given another task. So this way, this master managed to save himself. Similarly, this genie represents our mind. The act of continuously doing something, like climbing up and down the pole, which is a repetitive task, is likened to Namasmarana. By constant repetition of the name, we direct our mind and its attention or focus towards any God, any form of God of our choice. And this, dear sisters and brothers, is a very simple way to find time. Any time of the day for the Lord. And now, let's all immerse ourselves in the chanting of His sweet nectarine holy name.
Oh,
Welcome back, dear listeners. You know, a friend of mine once told me that he can't really sit for 20 minutes in prayer or meditation because his day is simply too packed with work and activities. However, as he understands the importance of finding time for God, or rather making it a priority for his day, this friend of mine listens to Swami's discourses over Radio Sai instead. Now, Swami's innumerable discourses given over the past years hold within them the essence and nectar of divine guidance. All one has to do is simply listen to Swami's soothing voice and allow the wisdom to be imbibed within. Again, with technology today, there is really no excuse for not being able to listen to Swami's words. Well, a great way for you to have Swami on the go with you is to download the Radio Sai application for your mobile phones, whether it is Android, Apple or Windows phone, which can give you instant access to all four streams that we have. And from this, choose the discourse stream anytime to listen to Swami's golden voice, or you can choose bhajan stream anytime to listen to bhajans 24/7. Another friend of mine wakes up to Swami's voice in the morning as she has set her alarm to start off with the beginning of Bhagwan's discourse. What a way to start the day! So you can choose to listen to Swami's discourses as you get ready for the day, as you drive to work, or even as you prepare to go to bed. It is really that simple. So dear listeners, after all, something is better than nothing.
Each call I'm on. Welcome back, dear listeners. When we finally realize that it is not about finding time for God, rather, all of time is God, then being immersed in the God Self becomes very effortless. Sri Sureshwaracharya, a disciple of Adi Shankaracharya, was once asked this question: if God is present everywhere at all times, then why is it so difficult for us to be aware of Him? The simple answer which Sri Sureshwaracharya gave is that when we walk on the road, we find a stone and we trip over it. Why? Are we not aware of the stone? No, it is only absent-mindedness. That is, thoughts associated with the stone are not there, though the stone is there. So either we have seen and not thought about it because we were distracted, or we have not seen the stone at all. Now he says, when we walk on the road and see the stone, there immediately is a thought that tells us about the stone. And this would help us walk around the stone. In the same way, he says, God, the object of awareness, is present everywhere at all time. Now for us to become aware of Him, we need to have thoughts associated with God. That will dawn the awareness of God in our day-to-day life.